If you have your Bibles tonight, turn with me, please, over to the book of John. John chapter number 21, chapter number 20. John chapter 21, the last verse in the book of John. John said, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." Amen. Then if you go back to John chapter 20 and verse number 30, the Bible said, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of the disciples, of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written," here's our text, "that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." If you'll turn back with me to John chapter 1 tonight, we talked about believing and believing God and the importance of believing God. And tonight I would like to key in on a word here in John chapter 1 and talk about believing God when it comes to being a witness. Believing God when it comes to being a witness. The Bible said there was a man sent from God in verse number 6 whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. I would ask you this question tonight. Number one, what is a witness? Number two, who is to be a witness? Number three, who needs a witness? Who needs a witness? How many believe tonight that those that are walking in darkness need a witness? How many believe tonight, and listen, this is not a loaded question. How many believes tonight that every believer, every born-again believer should be a witness? Now listen tonight, if we say we believe that, then the next question would be, are we doing it? Are we being a witness? Are we being a light? I'm not going to be mean-spirited at all tonight, but I'm preaching to me tonight as well. I believe that when John said these things are written that you might believe. Brother Rose, the night I got saved, and by the way, I've got three words I'm going to look at tonight, the word believing, the word becoming, and the word bringing in John chapter 1. But the night I got saved, I believed with all of my heart that I was going to hell if I didn't get saved. I believed that with all of my heart, that I was going to hell if I didn't get saved. But the night I got saved, I also believed with all of my heart that Jesus went to that old rugged cross and took my place. I believe they buried him, but I believe the grave couldn't hold him. I believe he got up the third day victorious. The songwriter, "We're Coming Upon Easter," Brother Ralph says, "You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart." That was not a dead Savior that spoke to my heart that night. He was very much alive and very much well. Amen. But tonight, I guess I would ask the question. The Bible said that, "Show me your faith without works." That's the book of James. And James said, "I'll show you my faith by my works." So, Brother Wayne, what I'm getting at tonight, a genuine belief, believing that I was going to hell, brought about action in my life. It brought me toward the cross. It brought me toward the Christ. It brought me to repentance. Hallelujah. It brought me out of darkness. It brought me into light. It brought me out of deadness, Brother Ralph. It brought me into life. So I ask tonight, how genuine, I believe tonight I'm talking to a room full of born-again believers, but how genuinely do we believe that God wants us to be a witness? I looked at some things here, and I hope I can get this across tonight. But the word witness in the English language is found four times in this first chapter. But the word witness in the Greek language is found seven times in this first chapter. I believe that, I'll show it to you in a minute, there's the word record that interchanges in the Greek with the word witness. That's the English word that's used in chapter number one. And I believe over there in the end of the book when John said, you know, many other things did Jesus. If you wrote them all down, the whole world couldn't contain the books. And then he said, but these are written that you might believe. And that believing, watch this now, you might have life through his name. I want to say this tonight. I mean this with all of my heart. I love good church services. Boy, we had a good church service last night. I love good church services. I love shouting, Brother Rose. I love praising God. I love the songs of Zion. I love good preaching. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something right now. There's never been anything more abundant in my life that would thrill me any more than getting to take that Bible and point somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, if that's something that's close to the heart of God, something that God wants us to do, is it any wonder that the flesh don't want to do it? Is it any wonder that our enemy, that Satan will do everything in his power to get us so consumed, even with daily living? Amen. Brother Brian brought that wonderful Sunday school lesson years ago about being overcharged, just being covered up. So busy. But it's amazing to me. I mean, I ran into a preacher last night. Now listen, Brother Robert Combs from down at Community Baptist Church, and I can't remember if that community, that's not Seymour. Where's it called, honey? Oliver Springs. I could not for the life of me think of that last night. First thing he asked me, he said, are you still deer hunting? That's what he said. Are you still deer hunting? Next thing I did is got my cell phone out. Somebody say amen. What I'm saying is, it's so easy for men to talk about deer hunting or golfing or cars, anything under the sun. Am I right or am I wrong? It's so easy for ladies. The subjects might be different, but there's so many subjects that are just so easy to strike up a conversation. That pastor today, Miss Eve, said, Brother Vinoy, you weren't whistling Dixie when you talked about that lasagna last night. He said, man, that stuff's good. He said, I love coming up this way. He said, I love going to Pals. I said, have you ever eaten my wife's lasagna? I said, you'll pass Pals doing 90 miles an hour to get you another piece of lasagna. So easy to talk about so many different things. But God said that you might believe. I believe this is right here. And let me just say this in the word believing. The Bible said he came into his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now watch this. I believe that no one gets saved without power. It takes the power of the Spirit of God to convict a man of his sin. It takes the power of the Spirit of God to convert that man and birth him into the family of God. I believe tonight, when you're talking about believers, I know that some, and I mean this, that they feel like it's the preacher's responsibility or the deacon's responsibility or the missionary's responsibility or the evangelist's responsibility. But I asked God when I was praying, and God showed me at least two real quickly, two examples in the Word of God. Now, we don't believe that God calls a woman to preach. Somebody help me. I don't believe the Bible teaches that. I believe the Bible teaches against that. Years ago, I was having a problem in a church concerning standards. And they'd say, that's Old Testament. When you talk about men dressing like men and looking like men, women looking like women and dressing like women, amen. So that's Old Testament. I preached a message entitled, Male and Female Created He Them. And I asked the question, did that change in the New Testament? When you go down to the nursery, don't they still say it's a boy or it's a girl? And God made the difference between a man and a woman in three areas. Number one, He made the difference in the area of authority. I didn't write that book. God did. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Our country's went backwards ever since we went against that. Number two, He made the difference in the area of ability. Women are able to do some things men can't do. And men are able to do some things that women can't do. God made the difference. And number three, God made the difference in the area of appearance. Say amen. When a woman gets to looking like a man or a man gets to looking like a woman, somebody ought to be good and ready to vomit. Because it's going against God. And going against God's plan. Believing. But there was a woman in John chapter 4. I need to say that story. It's coming. But I need to mention it tonight. She met Jesus. And she went back to town and said, come see a man. Told me all things ever that I did. Is not this the Christ? And I'm going to tell you something right now. It had to carry some weight because she had a reputation. She had had five husbands and the one she was with wasn't her own. There's another story in the Bible. This guy's not a preacher. He's a maniac. But Jesus saved him. They found this man that used to be stripped. He'd go naked among the tombs and cut himself and possessed of devils. They found this man sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Jesus gets up to go and he says, I'm going with you. Jesus said, no, I want you to go home. I want you to tell your friends how great, how they could say it's a great thing when God... Well, it's good for you to tell me that tonight. But there's somebody walking in darkness around you that needs to know how great God is and how great His salvation is. And tonight, when you look at that word witness, the first time in the chapter, it's found in verse number 7, bear witness of the light. The Greek word is martyria. It means evidence given. Report, testimony, record, witness. It's also found in the word record in verse number 19. The Bible said, this is the record of John. Did you know something tonight? You and I are going to leave this world one day after a while and we're going to leave a record behind. And as we live our life and our lips and our literature, and I need to say something right there. Let me just time out and put a parenthesis in the message. There was an NIV Bible found right back there in the pew last night. If you find one, you have my blessing and permission to throw it in the trash can. You say, preacher, you've lost your mind. I meant every word of it. You say, I can't do that. Give it to me. I'll throw it in the trash can. If it's got a name on it, I will kindly and compassionately talk to the one whose name is on it and let them know that that's not what we use around here. and I'll let them know why. You can't even get John 3:16 right in an NIV. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That sounds pretty good. But it made a lie out of the verse. The verse says God's only begotten Son. The Bible said, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall see him as he is. We'll be like him, for we shall see him as he is. What a blessing. Believing. I made a family mad one time. A whole family mad. I didn't do it on purpose. But I preached what I just now preached. I preached that the NIV is not the Bible. ASV. Every other V. Get you a King James Bible. Amen. And hang in there with it. Jesus is coming. It's God's word preserved in the English speaking language. Didn't leave any verses out. How would you feel tonight if I took my pocket knife out and come down there, Brother Wayne, and said, I'm going to cut this out of your Bible? You ought to be giving me one of them right there. Say, no, you're not, Pastor. Amen. That's my Bible. Leave it alone. Amen. Now, I didn't know it, but there was a family, had a whole family with them, a whole bench full carrying NIVs, just happened to be visiting that day. You know what I believe? I believe the God of heaven had a word for them. Don't get mad at the messenger. We're going to leave the blood in our songbooks. Believing. That's what you have to do to qualify to be a witness. Just be a believer. How many believers we got here tonight? You go on down to that other word, the witness, in the second time, in verse number 7, and then in verse number 8, and then in verse number 15. Then it's called the record in verse number 32 and verse number 34. It comes from another Greek word. These are hard for me to say, but I try my best. Martyreo. The other one ended with a re-a. This one's re-o. Means to be a witness, testify, charge, give, bear record, have a good report, be well reported of, testify, give testimony, to bear, give, obtain, witness. Webster said it like this. Here's his definition. The attestation to attest to a fact or an event. Are you saved? Are you saved? Is that a fact or is that fiction? God wants us to walk through this life attesting to that fact. I thought about this tonight. I'd ask the question, are we supposed to witness with our words, or are we supposed to witness with our walk? Who said that? Did you say both? That's exactly right. And there's two extremes to that. Some will try to be a witness while they're walking apart from God, and that does damage. But there are others that say, I should never talk to somebody about Christ. They just need to watch my life. That's called lifestyle evangelism. The correct answer is both. We're supposed to walk with God, then we're supposed to have a word for God and be a witness for the Lord. I believe John's doing that, don't you? Beloved, I want you to see tonight that there's the believing part of this, but then I want you to see the becoming part of this. If you will, turn with me to Matthew chapter 4 for just a moment. Just back over a few verses, the becoming part. And I want to stress this tonight, if I may. The Bible said, and we're going to be talking about Peter a little bit later on as well, but in verse number 18 of Matthew chapter 4, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother,
casting a net into the sea, and they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, the word of God's correct, but there's something, I believe, in the book of Mark that enhances that a little bit. It doesn't change it, but it enhances the message. Look in Mark chapter 1 with me for just a moment. In Mark chapter number 1, and verse number 16, down through verse number 18. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting the net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Does anybody see anything different? Become. And I will say this tonight, I will say it earnestly and compassionately. The rate at which men and women become fishers of men is different. One person might get saved and man, they just go back to work and all of a sudden, I mean, buddy, they're just telling everybody. And others, it may just be some, there may be some time. Some are saved. Some people are saved as a child. And you can't expect that child to be the same witness that perhaps a teenager would be or an adult would be. But here's the thing. We need to ask ourselves this question tonight. How long have I been saved and am I becoming a fisher of men? Because the Bible said, now wait a minute. You say, preacher, What's the characteristics of a fisher? Well, following. This is strong language, but I heard a preacher say one time, he said, if we're not fishing, are we following? Jesus told these men, follow me. And how many believes if we walk close to him, that what's dear to him becomes dear to us? How many believes that tonight? How many believes there's anything dearer to the heart of God than the souls of men? Amen. I don't believe there's a thing in the world dearer to the heart of God than the souls of men. The things of this earth don't mean anything to God. He knows they're all going to burn one day after a while. Going to melt with fervent heat. I believe there's two things right here. And I'm telling you, I believe they're key. Number one is following, a willingness to follow. Please get this tonight. I'm telling you, God, speaking to my heart. Not only is there a willingness to follow, but Brother Ralph, there was a willingness to forsake. Here's these guys. This is what they'd done for a living. They were professionals at it. They'd cast those nets out there and they'd get those fish and they'd bring them to market. Jesus come by, said, follow me. I'll make you to become fishers of men. And the Bible said they forsook their nets. Now, when I make that statement tonight, everybody's different. But I guarantee you if we'd be sensitive to the Holy Ghost, every one of us would find something in our life we could do without that we might be a better fisher of men. Let me give you that again. I got one or two amens. I believe every one of us could find something in our life that we could forsake that would make us a better fisher of men. So we see the believing part. John said, I wrote these things that you might believe. God wants us to believe that we can be a witness, that we should be a witness, that He wants us to be a witness. There's the believing. There's the becoming. Then the last thing I want to deal with tonight is the bringing. If you will, look in John chapter number 1. Let's go back over there, please. You remember John, he's the one that He said, he's going to come after me. Remember that? But he said, he's preferred before me. In other words, I believe John's being a good witness of that light. He's not that light. He's sent to bear witness of that light because he knows the one that's supposed to have the preeminence in his life. He's coming after me, but he's preferred before me. When we get over to John, is it chapter number 3? He says it like this, he must increase. I'm telling you something tonight. There's two things that everybody's flesh is not interested in. It's not interested in him increasing. And it's not interested in us decreasing. Can I get a witness tonight? The flesh is not interested in that. John's the one that said, behold. I really believe we have a whole lot of things going on in religion today, Brother Houston, that ain't doing nothing but saying, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at my church, look at my family, look at how I sing, look at how I preach, amen. But I'm telling you, the genuine witness says, don't look at me, look at him. Behold the Lamb, behold the Lamb, behold the Lamb of God. It takes away the sin of the world. I never shall forget. I don't know who said it, but it stuck in my heart. We preach and some say, boy, what a good sermon. Some say, what a good message. Some say, what a good preacher, what a good pastor. But he said, we failed if they're not leaving saying, what a Savior. You see, do y'all understand that they thought John was that prophet? Do you understand how easy it would have been maybe for him to take a little more credit than he should have took? Maybe he could have bragged about turning a backflip in his mother's womb. You better believe Elizabeth told him about it. Somebody help me, amen? Son, we heard about Jesus and you done a flip. You leaped in the womb. No, John wasn't interested in any of that. He said, I'm not even worthy. I'm not even worthy to unloose his shoe. What a blessing. Believing. That's the first step in being a witness. Becoming, God begins to work in our lives and help us along the way. We don't want to point people to ourselves. There's nothing wrong with inviting people to church. Or there's nothing wrong with, asking folks to come. I believe that's wonderful. I did read an article today. I started to print it off. But the gist of the article was this, and boy, in Kingsport, how true it is. It said a church that's not reaching others is a dying church. That's what it said. I believe that's the truth. Now watch this. It said most church growth in our generation is not doing anything but swapping from one building to another. Now you think about our city and you'd say amen right there. Somebody gets miffed over there and comes over here, miffed over here and goes over there. But where's the heart for souls? Where's the heart to go out there and get that one that's not in church? Maybe they're a Christian, but they're not in church. Maybe they're hurt. Maybe they're discouraged. But maybe they're lost without God. Believing, becoming. Let's look at the bringing quickly. Let's turn here to verse 35 of chapter number 1. Verse 35, again the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith this the second time, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and he saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He said unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and he abode with them that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother, Simon, and he saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. Is that it? What's the next verse say? I'm going to ask you a question. How many believes God can use the likes of you and I to bring somebody to Jesus? We can't save them. God help us if we think we can. But I tell you what I believe we can do. I believe we can bring them to Jesus. We can bring them to Jesus. Watch this now. I'll show you what's in my heart tonight. The Bible said, He brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation, a stone. Reckon anybody had told Jesus Simon's name? Nobody had to tell Jesus anything, did they? I believe already God is speaking to hearts in this text. I want you to turn with me to the book of Acts tonight. It's what's in my heart. I'll show you something. See if we can glean something here tonight that may speak to our hearts. It's my prayer that it will. We see him bringing. And he brought him to Jesus. He brought him to Jesus. In Acts chapter 2, in verse number 14, But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea and all that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see vision, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I'll pour out those days my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David spake concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou hast shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance, men and brethren. Let me freely speak to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which you now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. And they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter answered them and said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received the word were baptized. And the same day were added unto the church, added unto them 3,000 souls. Let me say this to you tonight. I can get excited about that. But I can't get excited about that without John chapter 1. And he brought him to Jesus. I told you all this, I think, years ago. I went back to Maryland to visit with my mother-in-law. My wife and I did. There was my Sunday school teacher in that church. The man's name was Galen Whiteley. I can't remember his wife's name. Precious people. They hauled me as a little boy to church. He said, what were they doing? I'll tell you what they're doing. They're doing their best to bring me to Jesus. My mom and dad wasn't going to church, but they'd let us ride a bus, go to church. That Sunday school teacher looked to me like a giant. I mean, it was as if I were sitting like an Indian down there, and he was about this tall. Had a real deep voice, wouldn't put up with any foolishness at all. Boys, we're in the Word of God. It ain't time to be fooling around. And I mean, when he spoke, you sat up straight and listened. You know what he was doing? He's trying his best to bring me to Jesus. I went back up there and visited Brother Wayne, and they found out God had saved me. They found out God had called me to preach. And the pastor, he wanted me to give my testimony that morning. I was trying to be real mindful of the time. It was a Sunday morning service. They're a little bit more structured in Maryland than we are in Tennessee. But anyway, I just took about 10 minutes, gave my testimony, sat back down. The Lord had woke me up that morning at 4 o'clock, Brother Rose, 4 o'clock, poured something in my soul, and I didn't know why. I mean, it was there in front of me. I was excited about it, and I said, God, I don't know when I'll get to preach this. Got to preach at 11:30 that morning. I sat back down. The pastor said, Brother Vinoy don't know it. As soon as we get done with the offering, he's coming to preach. I'm glad God knew it. He said, preacher, what are you trying to say? Here's what I'm trying to say, Brother Gary. These people I'm talking about,
if there's anything accomplished in my life, my entire life, they'll have a part in it because they brought me to Jesus. Those two deacons, Brother Houston, I'd have to run. I'm not going to go into detail and hide stuff when they knocked on my apartment door. I was so ashamed. But oh, to God, they loved me enough. Even in my late teens when I wasn't going to church, they loved me enough to just keep coming and trying to get me to Jesus. Get me to Jesus. Tonight, I love reading about 3,000 souls getting saved. And I'll tell you tonight, Peter, you can't read that text without saying thank God for forgiving God, not only forgiving Peter, but Peter messed up, amen, when he denied Christ, when he cursed, and God, Jesus come out there on the shore. He got him right, amen, with God once again. But my point is this, none of that without chapter 1. Verse 41, he first findeth his own brother Simon. Verse 42, he brought him to Jesus. Coulter, I thought about this afternoon as I was preparing to preach. You got saved in your home. Mom and Daddy brought you to Jesus. You got up that night knowing you're in trouble with God. Everything that God accomplishes through your life, Mommy and Daddy will have a part in that because they brought him to Jesus. Somebody, I think it was D.L. Moody, wasn't he the one that was saved in the shoe store? Wasn't there a Sunday school teacher, am I right, Miss E? Sunday school teacher come. They called them cobblers back in, didn't they, Miss E? A cobbler. Okay. The Sunday school teacher got under a burden and visited with that man in the shoe store. You can say whatever you want to, but everything that D.L. Moody accomplished in his life, that Sunday school teacher brought him to Jesus. Is the Lord speaking to anybody's heart besides mine? Let's go out of here. Try to be sensitive to the Lord. Let's ask God. Lord, somewhere between here and heaven, let me bring somebody to Jesus. Amen. What'd be wrong with that? Just let me bring somebody to Jesus. Not so we can stand up and beat on our chest. Honey, I'll tell you what, if God uses you, it'll humble you. To think that he could use the likes of us. He wants to. A witness needs to be believing. A witness needs to be becoming. And a witness needs to be bringing. I'm just glad you come tonight.